Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
We're go fly.
Guidance.
Guidance, go.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
Roger that.
Welcome. It's nice to have you here. I'm so glad you could come. This is going to be such an exciting day. I hope you enjoy it. I think you will. Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while. You could miss it.
You have to let it all go, Neo. Fear, doubt, and disbelief.
I'm trying to free your mind, Neo, but I can only show you the door. You're the one that has to walk through it.
Positive news, information, and people.
A single mom who's working two jobs and still finds time to take her kid to soccer practice, that's a miracle. A teenager who says no to drugs and yes to an education, that's a miracle. People want me to do everything for them. What they don't realize is they have the power. You want to see a miracle, son? Be the miracle.
Marvelous Mondays with Harry and Phil. Just listen.
And now it's time for Harry and Phil's witty banter.
Time for that. Because why? Well, because you're listening to Marvelous Mondays with Harry and Phil on Blog Talk Radio. We're really glad that you're with us tonight. We've got a couple very special guests as we open up the month of February and our theme of relationships. But you know, it wouldn't be Marvelous Mondays with Harry and Phil without some guy named Phil. How you doing, Phil?
I'm blessed and highly favored and happy if you can actually hear me right now.
I hear you, and you're not even hissing anymore. How cool is that?
Okay. Yeah, during our sound check, we were having some technical challenges. So I've had to call on my cell back and forth on Skype, and then it dropped me just after Jed Ray says, Marvelous Mondays with Harry and Phil, just listen. And it cut me off and dropped me. So I was like, yeah, I'm trying to just listen. What just happened? So anyway.
How are you? Yeah. Well, you know, how in the world am I? Well, you know, it's Monday, so obviously marvelous, which is always a good thing to be. You know, doing well. The weather's been really nice here in Vegas, you know, better than I can say back home where they were talking of wind chills in the minus, you know, 10s and 20s. And, you know, you can't complain too much about, you know, 67 degrees and sunny. So, no, life is good. I had a great weekend, you know, did some dancing as usual, Saturday night with the gang. Didn't go out Friday night. Are you sitting down? Are you shocked?
I'm not shocked.
Well, I had some things I had to take care of, but Saturday night I just danced, you know, twice as hard. Speaking of which, there's actually a couple new meetup groups that a friend of mine, her name is Sophia, and she's actually a ballroom dance instructor and a dance instructor in general, but she specializes in ballroom, things like that. Well, she started a couple meetup groups about dancing, and she gets a hold of me, and she says, Harry, do you know of any, you know, places to go dancing throughout the week? I figured you'd be the person to ask. And I sent her back this whole laundry list of places, the bands, what they play, the times, and she's like, wow. I said, you know, I come back and say, I told you I'd go dance a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit. That's yeah, funny. How about you?
I would be remiss if on Monday after the Super Bowl we don't talk a little bit about what occurred on Sunday night. I know you're not much of a pro football fan, but you know the Super Bowl is as much about football as it is about the commercial advertisements, right?
Yeah.
Did you happen to catch the game at all?
Yeah, I watched the game, and I was bored.
Yeah, I mean, listen, from the first snap, something was awry.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a very one-sided game. And then it almost is painful to watch. And it doesn't matter what people, you know, pontificated prior to the game. At the end of the day, when that ball gets snapped, when after that point is crossed and the game begins, you're not quite sure who's going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, congrats to the Seattle Seahawks because they showed up big.
Oh, yeah.
And,
last
night's game is not going to be what Peyton Manning is remembered for. He's got a what's the word I want to use? He's got a cacophony of successes that people will draw from, and he had a stellar, a record-breaking year during the season. So this is just that little hiccup. Like, man, wow, what just happened? But
yeah, not a good time to have a hiccup.
Timing, but you know, hey,
I got to ask you though. You know, I call you the conversationalist extraordinaire, but like, did you have to look up the world cacophony, because that is like really a cool word? And I'm like,
no, I've used it. It's in the repertoire. It is in the repertoire. It goes along with a cornucopia.
Yes. Well, my word, I like copious. You know.
Copious, yes. Yeah, it's all, and they're all C words. Look at that. So, one, I was reading an article about, and you know, there are pundits in everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in the ad space, I was reading an article that was happening. I didn't read it in real time, but there was a blog going on in real time about the commercials coming on air. And it was amazing to me about the depth of opinions that come from all over the place about what a group of people put together as a commercial spot during one of the most watched events on television ever, during a year, right? This is the make-or-break ad for mainly brand name recognizable companies, right? If you can afford $4 million for a 30-second spot during the Super Bowl, particularly at halftime, then chances are people already know who you are. You know, I could be wrong. Wouldn't be the first time. But the opinions just flying back and forth about what people created for 30 seconds or a minute of, you know, creativity. And I read one piece that someone wrote, and I'm going to paraphrase. I've been looking for it, but my computer's been giving me some stuff, and I was looking on the phone. But essentially what the woman wrote was, one of the things I love about the Super Bowl ads is how it ups the game for the marketers and creative folks, because you've got to get a message out in a shorter amount of time than any other time, right? And what I loved about what the person wrote is it celebrated creativity, no matter what they put out.
Right.
Can you imagine the number of meetings that you have to have before you sign and say, yes, this is what we're going to do during the Super Bowl for 30 seconds or a minute or what have you, and it's costing us $4 million, and we all agreed this is what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a crazy amount of...
Oh, yeah, it's a crazy amount of creativity and collaboration and you know, C words, by the way. I can't even say it now. We are being brought to you tonight by the letter C, the word cornucopia, and the number five.
The number five. The creative space, the creative side of what God gave us is the ability to create.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's part of our DNA. And I wrote a piece on Facebook about opinion versus truth. And when you submit to other people's opinions as opposed to your own personal truth, then you're giving in to fear. And fear doesn't allow you to create.
It doesn't exist in the same space.
No, it can't. And so if you want to read more about what I wrote in that piece, you know, connect with me on Facebook, go to my notes section, and you'll see it. It's the most recent note that I've written, Opinion versus Truth. But out of all of the different variables of opinions, that one stood out for me, and I wanted to bring it up tonight because it doesn't matter what you think about that commercial. Think about the industry, the people, the editors, the directors of photography, the lighting people, the location people, the storyboards, the pens and paper and computers, the animation, the titling, the all of that stuff that goes into it. And then we've got 30 seconds to share our opinions about it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it is amazing, too, as you're talking about, you know, real-time blogging, things along those lines. You know, the things that, you know, it's everything's the game has changed and changed dramatically with the Internet and with the, you know, expansion of the Internet. But, you know, it's, you know, there's people that are, you know, watching the game and tweeting about it. And I thought I saw something one time that there was like something happened and they literally came back and said, you know, in that moment of what went on, there was an average of 40,000 tweets a minute. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah. Anyway, but you know, it's all good stuff. And you know, when I said I was bored, I mean, it's one of those things. Yeah. Again, congratulations to the Seahawks. You know, they wanted that game, man, from the get go.
Mm-hmm.
That defense. Right. I mean, they just wanted that game. One of the cool statistics I heard though too is that they were tied for the youngest team as far as average age with the Miami Dolphins from 1971 at 26.4 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, it's good stuff. But mm-hmm. one other thing I wanted to share, you know, I've been talking that I've been starting to do our daily Marvelous Monday community hero. And
right.
I don't have to say much about the guy I put up today. It's actually Alan Stubich, Midwest Pond Design. You're going to be talking about him on the break. So, you know, and, you know, we've talked a lot about Alan, but I really want to mention this kid that I found the other day. He, 17 years old. His name, and, of course, my scrolling just won't stop on my computer. Talk about, you know, computer fun. Anyway, he goes. This kid's been going out and helping other kids that are needy with having glasses. Okay, so you know, so he's been collecting, you know, like used glasses or things along those lines to donate to these kids. His name is Yash Gupta, 17 years old. He collects used glasses, donates to the children in need. Since 2011, he's given out 9,500 pairs of glasses worth nearly $500,000.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you want to learn more about him, he's actually one of the CNN.com 2013, you know, heroes. Mm-hmm. And you can look him up, you know, it's look up CNN Heroes and Yash Gupta. I just wanted to point that out with that young man. And then the other thing, just real quickly, I posted a thing, Marvelous Monday's thought for the day. And here's the thought for the day. You ready? This is deep. You ready, Phil?
Go ahead.
Okay. And it's complicated, so it's going to take me a long time to say it and put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
So here it is. You matter. And I'm not even just talking about you, Phil, even though you do.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
this is what I wanted to put today. Now, I pulled it off of something that I found. It says, and I'm going to read this, fundamentally, you are inherently enough. It matters not if you are a Christian, Hindu, Muslim, or Jew. You are enough. Rich or poor, gay or straight, black, yellow, red or white, you are already enough. With or without mudra, mantra, yantra, or tantra, you're always enough. You'll live your life listening to others tell you you're not enough, that there's something missing. Live your life knowing there's nothing missing. With or without knowledge or understanding, you're always enough. With or without practice, purpose, or principle, your essential nature is already always enough. Without effort, favor, or condition, the beloved sweetly kisses your inherent nature just as you are, and that was, is, and will always be more than enough.
Hmm.
I'm complete.
Oh, that's enough. I think, I think you covered quite a bit there. I think you said enough.
Actually. I did.
Yeah. And we've had this conversation, and we've talked to people, and I remember a very profound moment. I don't want to call out this organization in a negative way, okay? But I participated with a group in a men's group, okay? So I don't want – if I were only going to talk about the positive aspect, I would name the group. But this is kind of a – dare I say, a challenge to the group, okay?
Okay.
And that group, one of the principal functions of the group is that when the men get together, it's to be better at being a man, okay? So a lot of the things that are identified or brought out to the mat, let's say you were going to a dojo to train, the things that are brought out to the mat are the things that maybe you're not doing so well in, right? And then you talk about it, and you put some plan together, and then you're measured on it, and you're held accountable to it. But the focal point, it seemed to me, it occurred to me at that time, was on the things that weren't working, and there was never enough on what was working, right?
Yeah.
And prior to doing the Marvelous Monday show, I was engaged in this group, and It didn't sit well with me, and there was a gentleman there who, quite frankly, you put 10 guys in a room and you compare people. Comparisons never work. It's just not a good place to begin, even with yourself, when you look in the mirrors, to start comparing yourself to other people. And he was constantly trying to measure up to others. And I said to him in a moment, I said, you know, I'll just call it his first name, Mike. I said, Mike, I'm really looking forward to the day when you finally get how perfect you already are. And what the world needs is more people like Mike who can see himself that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I want. That was one of my last meetings at the event, because I just felt like, man, there's more to this life than to keep pointing out what isn't working. And then we interviewed Dr. Michael Rice a couple of years ago. Do you remember the test that he did with, or the case study with the ex-cons? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he did a presentation to, I believe it was 20 men and 20 women convicts, ex-cons rather, former inmates, forgive the expression, and the rate of recidivism, which was a word that was new to me when he was on the show. Anyone who in law enforcement probably understands this, but recidivism is the rate of return to prison. Okay?
Yes, it's not ROI.
If you, pardon me?
It's not ROI.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's not return on investment. The rate of recidivism for an inmate, a former inmate, who also has an addiction, is in the upper 90 percentile. If you've got an alcohol or drug addiction and you have just been released from jail, you have a 90-plus percentage rate of going back to jail within a certain period of time. Okay? Mm. He meets a group of former inmates, 20 men and 20 women, talks to them for about 2 hours, and when they left, they never went back. 5+ years later is when he was on our show, and he shared that. He said not one of those individuals went back. Okay? So how do you beat a 90% chance that you're going to go back? How do you beat that? Well, you beat it by explaining to these individuals in that two-hour period how healthy they are.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the key. There was more to it, but the key was these people left the conversation for the first time in their lives learning that they were 70% healthy, 80% healthy, 60% healthy. So all you're working on is 40%, 30%. You're not working on being told all your life that you're worthless, that you're nothing,
exactly.
You'll never amount to anything, right? Mm-hmm. And the other day we interviewed Craig, who talked about how brilliant people really are, people who think differently. And he was like, I'm not just saying something nice to be nice to people. Not everybody learns the same way. And some people shut down because they don't learn the way that other people learn. So, anyway, that's
anyway.
Based on what you just shared.
Well, okay. We probably shouldn't, because Vision Topeka are waiting
right.
patiently in the wings, and we're already over time. It's good stuff, though.
Yeah.
We have birthdays to do here very quickly. And so I've got Marshy Shire, Neil Rahman, Eric Russ, and Brian Baruch. If it's Monday, it's your birthday, it must be marvelous. A happy Marvelous Monday birthday to you and all our Facebook friends and family and all around the world celebrating a birthday today.
Okay. So real quick, I've got Dr. Summer Reed, Amador Ramirez, Alan Meyer, and I know there's a bunch of people, more people, but my Facebook is frozen on me, and I can't access them, but I remember those. It's your birthday. It's on a Monday. It must be marvelous, whether I remember it or not. Happy Marvelous Monday birthday to all our Facebook friends and family.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear everyone. Happy birthday to you and many more.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday.
All right. Happy birthday. Well, we're going to go into that first commercial break, and I'm going to turn it over to Phil because he's going to talk to you about something near and dear to our hearts and something that Alan Stubich, who has brought this thing to our attention a little while ago, our community hero for the day, the Water Project. Talk to him, Phil.
Well, you know, if you've listened to the show at all over the last year, you know that this is something important to us. And I ask a very simple question to our listeners. If your child came up to you and asked you for a glass of water, would you go to the backyard, find a muddy pit, and squeeze out whatever dirty, bacteria-infested water you could find, put it in a cup and hand it to them? It's a silly question. I know. I know you wouldn't do it. But 700 million people around the world don't have a choice. Bacteria-infested, muddy, cloudy water is all they have to drink with, to cook with, to wash their clothes in, and to bathe in. You can do something about it. You can give to the Water Project. Our friend Alan Stubich and his company, MidwestPondDesign.com. You can go to MidwestPondDesign.com. Click on the fundraising page. Don't need a dollar, $2, $5, or $10. Change someone's life for generations, because the Water Project is building clean water wells in places around the world that don't have a choice unless they have that pump. Unless they have that well. And Alan and the crew have been able to fund a couple of wells already, and we're on our way to the third one. So help out. Go to MidwestPondDesign.com or go to thewaterproject.org and start your own fundraising page. You can help put a dent so that 700 million people can have clean water also. Thank you.
Darlings, I'm telling you, darlings, this is Fernando, and I'm telling you, it's better to look good than to feel good, and that's what Harry and Phil, they know that on Marvelous Mondays with Harry and Phil. So you want to feel good, you want to look good, then you want to listen to Marvelous Mondays with Harry and Phil. Darlings, I'm telling you, it's better to do that than to watch the news. Just listen.
It's time to monetize. It's time to philosophize. It's time to personalize.
It's time for Phil to introduce our very special guest.
Oh, it certainly is. And one of the reasons they're very special is because I've actually got to meet them and be in the presence of their love, to be in the presence of their energy and their dynamism, if that's a word. Okay?
Ooh,
these are some fantastic, fabulous people. Vish and Deepika discovered each other. Well, actually, Vish did it first, and then he kind of convinced Deepika that they discovered each other, but they're going to talk a little bit more about that. But let me just say this. if you are in a space in your life where you're not quite sure about where you are and where you're going, and relationship is a big thing for you, you need to get in the space of Vishen Deepika. You need to pick up Yoga and Love. Go to yogaandlove.com. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But Vish is on a mission to save the hearts of 15 million people around the world by helping them understand who it is that they are, and so that they can magnetically attract everything in their lives, but particularly their soulmate. So we're going to learn a little bit more, where this is their second time around on the show. So they're not just special guests, they're family. And so everyone, put your hands together for Vishen Deepika.
All right, gentlemen. What a...
there you go.
Yeah,
it
took a second for some reason.
Yeah, I was waiting for the prop. How are you two?
Glad to be on the show again, guys.
Excellent. Namaste.
Oh, namaste. Thank you. Thanks for having us. It's just been such a... We could just keep listening to you guys. It's just been awesome.
You're having a wonderful conversation.
Well,
thank
you
so much. That means a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, we went a little over on that one tonight, but that's okay. And what we're going to do, Phil, we're not going to take the next break at the bottom of the hour. We'll take it at 45 and at the top of the hour, so we can get plenty of time to talk with Vishen Deepika. And what Phil usually says at this point is that, you know, Harry's going to take you through things, but that's for first-time guests. And you're not a first-time guest. Like he said, you're more like family, and I'm a little bit envious of Phil for actually meeting you guys. I got to do that soon.
Yes, you should come over to L.A.
Yeah, I'm not that far away now being in Vegas, so, you know.
Yeah, you should, yeah. Wait, you should ask Phil how the food was. We fed him.
Oh,
a little fat.
Excellent. But they fed me more than just food, I think. I just shared tonight, Vish, I shared at my men's meeting tonight with my group. I said, you know, the young man that I'm interviewing tonight said to me something very profound when we first met. He said, if you're not spending 1 hour with God every day, then you're not serious about having a relationship with God. I never forgot that. And I got to tell you, you know, I have a Christian context for my faith and belief here. Coming from you with your Vedic background and Hindu, you know, hearing that from someone who is serious about his relationship with God, and then I look at me and I say, you know, am I serious about this? Man, you really planted a good seed in me that day, and I want to thank you for that.
It's all God, Phil.
Absolutely. So
what we're going to do?
So
today,
Harry,
do
you want to go over the theme of the month? Or
yes, I do. Yeah. Now, just be quiet over there, would you? Anyway, the theme of the month is relationships, and we know that you got a lot to say about relationships. And so, what I would like to do though is have you guys individually come on and talk about relationships and yoga and how those two things kind of list.
Uh-oh, I think we're losing you guys.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay.
Could you repeat
Harry,
the question?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
so you completely blacked out for a few seconds.
Wow, that's interesting. Okay, well, basically what I want you guys to do is talk about this concept of yoga and love as it pertains to relationships, and I want to go with Deepika first.
Interesting. Can you get more specific?
No.
Okay, we can talk generic. Yoga and love, it's not really two different things. I can touch on it from a very practical perspective of the way we lead our life and what brings meaning to our relationship and our life in general. Vish can talk more of the wisdom that you know, he's inherited and that he's just so filled with. But yoga is love, and love is yoga for us. Yoga builds the foundation of our life, of our relationship. It helps us connect individually with the love that is within ourselves for us and for God and for everybody. And coming from that space, we build the foundation of our relationship with each other. I think it'll be actually this year will mark a decade of our marriage. So it'll be 10 years since we married each other. And if yoga wasn't there, I'm not sure if we would grow in the depth of the love, the friendship, and understanding that we've grown in the past 10 years. So I see it as a very intertwined aspect of life and of our relationship.
Well, that's fantastic, and I knew, Topeka, that without having to get specific, you would really start this conversation off in a very wonderful way. You know, I appreciate what you had to say there. So let's go to Vish. Let's talk about the wisdom side of it then, Vish.
Yeah. I speak all over the world, and I get this question all the time. Even today, I just did an interview with a fashion magazine, and everybody asked, how is yoga connected to love? Deepika put it beautifully, but I want to talk a little bit more about the origin of it. And the word yoga is from the root word yuj in Sanskrit, which means union. It's the union of two entities. And according to yoga scriptures, it is the tool which you can use to unify your individual soul with the cosmic soul or God. That process is called yoga in the Sanskrit scriptures. And in love, what do? You're trying to have a union with the other person at the physical, at the mental, and the spiritual level. So yoga, the yoga masters found specific techniques which you can practice to unify, have that union within yourself, and then have that union with the person on the outside. So yoga and love at the core, it's the most intuitive combination. And one is not apart from the other.
Okay, yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, as I'm sitting there and you know, listening to you talk about it, I like both of your takes on it and what you brought to the conversation. And I'm sure he's got a myriad of questions back there. So.
Yeah, and you blanked out again for a second, but you came in at the end there.
Yes,
can you guys
did, yeah.
hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay. So, I am chomping at the bit here. I was hoping to have your website up, yogaandlove.com, because there were some comments on there that I said, oh, I definitely have to bring this up. I want to piggyback on what Harry was saying in terms of yoga and love, one and the same, right? And when I think about what you first shared with us when we had you on the show, I think it's 2 years ago now that you were on the show. You shared how yoga brings you to a place of balance, like it remagnetizes you. And when I think about what we really are as an expression of God, I don't care what you believe in, okay? But we are all here to bring elements of love back on earth. That's just my belief, okay? And love personified in my context is what Jesus came here to do. So if yoga, anything is really an expression of love, yoga is an expression of love. Does that make sense? Am I on the right track here?
Absolutely, you are. Okay. Yoga was designed to discover or get in tune with the love within yourself. That's it.
Mm.
And the tool, when we say yoga, we mean meditation. The physical.
Right.
Because there's a huge misconception in the West about what yoga is, everybody thinks it's a bunch of physical poses. And I always encourage people to, when we say yoga, I always encourage people to look at it as like a pie with 8 slices. And only one slice is called Hatha Yoga, which is the physical. We still have 7 more slices. And the main aspect of what we understand yoga is the tool of powerful tools of meditation, which can consciously mm-hmm. help you connect with the inner bliss or love within yourself.
Mm. Well, it reminds me of a scripture that says, by the renewing of your mind, like be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because there's a lot of programming that occurs here on Earth. Whether you like it or not, we're people who are raised by people who were raised by people who were raised by people who were raised by people. And if somebody screwed up the programming along the way, you get that.
Right.
So when is it, do you think, that people, I hate to shit on people, but when do you suggest people should begin the process of a yoga or a meditation practice?
As early as possible. Because nowadays, psychologists are saying by the time you're 9, a lot of your neuronal connections are already formed. And it is very difficult to change who you are fundamentally after you're 9 years old. And that is what psychologists are saying. And what yoga is saying is, and there's a lot of research to show, and I'm also writing a science paper on it, is where you can create new neurons through certain meditation practices, whereby you are increasing blood flow into what we call as the prefrontal cortex, which is the region of power, which is the CEO of your brain. And once you create neuronal connections, and what that means is you can increase blood flow to that center of the brain, then you consider yourself powerful and take responsibility for your action rather than pretending to be a victim. And this is possible through powerful meditation practices. This has been proven over and over through what we call as fMRI, functional magnetic resonance imaging, and EEG, because when somebody goes through a trauma, whether it's a relationship, and I see this a lot with my clients, when people go through a very traumatic relationship, whether it's a divorce or somebody cheats on you, it can be anything. It's a traumatic experience, right? We know that. It's a very dirty, very, very hurtful, very painful traumatic experience. And what we found in through these brain research is, anytime there is a trauma, and in my case, my specialty is relationship, is there is a lock in the amygdala, which is part of our limbic system or our reptilian brain. There is a lock. And that lock makes you feel like a prisoner. And that is why people, when they go through a traumatic experience, they feel sort of a claustrophobia. They're in the fear center. And through meditation, why meditation is so powerful, yoga is so powerful, is we can consciously move our experience, our fundamental, what we call as a pink screen, our perception, from our fear center to a region of power. And that is what meditation does. That is what yoga does. So we can consciously create the relationship we want to, we aspire to, we dream of.
This is so reminiscent of the interview that we did with Mark Robert Waldman, a neuropsychologist, and his co-author is Andrew Newberg, a neuroscientist, and the book is called How God Changes Your Brain. And by the way, those listening, you know, when I do the intro of our guests, I don't always go down their CV and start rattling off all of their doctorates and things like that. But Vish is someone that actually has several different degrees under his belt. You were also a computer scientist, if I remember correctly. And so you speaking in these terms with, around the science behind this, I think qualifies you to a whole other level. So one of the other things that this... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, the point I was... I'll get to the science more in depth. Yeah, go ahead. I'll just add that to your question.
Okay, well, what Mark Robert Waldman and Andrew Newberg determined through brain scans and through interviews is how individuals literally change the physiology of the brain when they thought about things outside of themselves vis-a-vis God. Okay, no matter, and they went all over the world, from Pygmies in this continent and indigenous people of that continent, and people in the metropolitan centers of the world. Okay, so that's one. Two, Dr. Bruce Lipton in The New Biology, he talks a lot about, you know, the thinking, right? So there's a number of different avenues we can go here. Having said this, where do you believe that people can make the biggest, where can you make the biggest impact or the biggest transformation for people by starting a yoga meditation practice?
Yeah. So if I understand your question, you say where? Can you repeat your question?
Where do you think people can make the biggest impact by starting a yoga meditation practice?
Yeah. First, fundamentally, I'll get back to relationship, which is my focus. I believe that there are two most important decisions of your life. First one is relationship, finding that ideal partner.
Right.
And the second one is finding what you love to do, your career. When you get these two things right in life, life can be blissful. How do I know?
Right.
Because that's how I live. And for some reason, in America, in the Western world in general, there is a belief love will just randomly happen out of the blue, and it is somehow out there, and it happens to beautiful people or successful people, or it's just a random thing. What I'm saying, I'm not saying that it's a tradition I come from, is saying, is no, you can, just as you can create a body, an awesome body by working out, by eating right, you can consciously create love. That is the most important thing to understand. And how do we do that? Coming back to your question, so first is working on yourself to love yourself. This is number one. And a lot of people don't understand, okay, what does it mean? Oh, I need to love myself. What does it mean, really? And they don't know how do you quantify that. People start talking about, hey, I made this mistake because I didn't know myself. What the heck does that mean? Nobody's able to quantify that. And in yoga and yoga and love, I've tried to quantify that. We can prove that through if you meditate 20 minutes a day or 30 minutes a day, there are conscious brain changes. There are hormonal differences. There is a higher serotonin. There is higher oxytocin. There is higher vasopressin. And these hormones, they collectively make you feel really good. And your stress is really low. And once you start feeling really good about yourself, everybody wants to be around a happy person. You become magnetic.
Right.
And that's why love is an energy issue. It's not a moral issue. It's not a judgment thing. It's not a psychological issue. It's an energy issue. If you change your energy state, you can change your emotional state.
I love what you just said there. And one of the things
that
comes
profound.
To mind is, and here's the thing. Working on loving yourself, I mean, how can you expect somebody else to love you if you don't love you? One.
Absolutely.
And two, I read somewhere on your website, on yogaandlove.com, someone wrote about making the decision to be single is, and I can't remember, but it's one of the testimonials on your page. But when I read it, I was like, wait, they came to you to find out how to get their soulmate, and the decision they made is that they're going to stay single. So the question came up for me, is it more important to discover your purpose in the world or to discover your partner first?
Beautiful question. I wrote like 30 pages in the book about that. And that's
interesting.
Just awesome. It's a great question. In my coaching, people ask me this, and finding your career, and I call it finding your dharma, finding what you're meant to do. mm-hmm. and that thing will fit you like a glove. And people always ask me, "Which should I go for this first, or go for my love or relationship first?" I highly mm-hmm. recommend people, if you have not already, is to go after what you're passionate, what you love to do first.
Right.
And the reason where I'm going with this is both are equally important. Both contribute mm-hmm. to a meaningful life. But mm-hmm. if you want to do what should be done first is going after your passion. Because I see this all the time. When a couple, they're in a relationship probably 3 years of their marriage, suddenly the guy mm-hmm. or the lady suddenly feels, "Oh, I always loved acting or I always loved writing, so I want to move to Hollywood and I pursue," and the guy is not on the same page with that. And so they break up. I see this all the time. If that person had discovered before and made sure and communicated, "Hey, this is what I want to do,"
right,
you will attract that ideal person who matches that vibration, that energy.
So right now, the vibration we're on right now is we got to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how to keep that relationship going once you discover who your dharma and your purpose in the world. So hang on to that thought, and we're going to bring Deepika back on air. Harry, take us into the break.
Absolutely. Awesome. Thanks. Yeah, and when we come back, I have a couple questions myself for Vish and Deepika. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Marvelous Mondays with Harry and Phil on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be back after this commercial break for ProfessionalBachelors.com. Magazines, TV shows, and other resources to help women outnumber those for men by more than 4-1. And the few resources for men are mostly about sports or porn, until now. ProfessionalBachelors.com is designed to help men become mentally, physically, and emotionally healthy, perfect gentlemen, who are good with money and great with women. Check out ProfessionalBachelors.com today. Take advantage of their free articles and videos. Then join as a member and get their members-only material as well. Become a better man. Become a professional bachelor. Take advantage of their special offer of 3 months for the price of two by using promo code HARRY.
Hi, this is Angela Gower-Johnson from the Ultimate Dream Project. You have to listen to Marvelous Mondays with the amazing, gorgeous Harry and Phil. Just listen. They're amazing.
All right, thank you, Angela Johnson. Phil, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to Marvelous Mondays with Harry and Phil, our very special, well, not even guests, family. Vish and Deepika are in tonight to talk with Phil and I about yoga and love. And, you know, one of the things that I really loved about what you're saying there earlier, Vish, about finding your purpose first, finding that dharma, you know, is more important. And I think if I'm understanding this right, because it helps to cause that you have an energy now about you that then can go out and attract that love that's going to match that energy. Is that what I heard you say?
Oh my God, you couldn't say it better. That's exactly what I meant. Because everybody loves a person who's on a mission, who's ambitious, and that makes you very magnetic. And people go around saying, "Hey, that person knows exactly what he or she wants. I like
her." Right.
And then you don't come off later, 10 years from now, 5 years from now, "Hey, that's what I thought you wanted." There's none of that.
Uh-huh.
And so I want to stress the point that it just takes precedence. It's not like one over the other. Still, relationship in my mind is the most important thing. It's the most important decision. But
mm-hmm.
if stages of life, which should you go after first? It's probably dharma first.
And that makes, you know, again, it makes a lot of sense. And you know, I recently went through, and we talked about this on the show in April. It'll be 2 years I went through an unmarriage, and one of the things I did on purpose. Was to say, okay, I need to rediscover who I am, what I'm passionate about, all those types of things before anything else. And one of the things that I have found, a lot of people that I've worked with as a life coach over time and things like that, is they have this tendency to want to jump right back in a relationship, and they haven't even figured out who they are yet. What I want to do is
absolutely.
I just want to, Yeah, I want to actually ask Deepika and you both a question here. And could you tell us about a time in your life when you were out of balance? And how did you find that balance for yourself, whether it's through yoga or something else? And do you feel that that's what led you two to come together? It doesn't matter who goes first on that one.
Harry, I want to say that, you know, 10 years is it's a short time, but it's a very long time as well. And obviously, this discovery, it doesn't just happen once, right? There's different stages in life, and there's growth constantly happening throughout life. And marriage is one partnership. It's the closest friendship that can help through all of those stages and all of those episodes of self-discovery and support each other in that growth that needs to happen. And there have been many instances, not many, probably, you know, a couple of critical stages in both of our paths where we've had to really figure out what next, where next, where do I want to stir my life? And as a wife, you know, I'm so grateful to Vish because he's really looked out for my interest. There have been times when the yoga and work, you know, the work has really taken off, and I've really questioned, Vish, should I really quit my career and maybe step on board to assist with this full time? And he's always been so particular. He says, you have a special gift. You have something. You're so incredible at what you do. I want you to strive for the highest, the best, the top, the best that you can be in your field. What's the next step there? What do you need to do to really challenge yourself and step up that ladder? And looking back in the past 10 years, I'm so grateful for that, because as a woman, as a wife, my career and my accomplishments in my career give me so much pride. They contribute to my self-identity, and he's looked out for me for that at every step of the way. So I hope that sheds a little bit of light in that process of self-discovery, you know, together and supporting each other to pursue each other's dharma throughout life.
Oh, yeah, it most definitely does. And, you know, interesting going back into, you know, something I, you know, experienced here in my last marriage was the fact that, and, you know, the partners, you talk about growth and rediscovery, you know, each of them, you know, has to be willing not only to work on that themselves and to work on themselves and to continue to love themselves, but also to work together on the relationship. And that's what, you know, that's what I found, you know, can be lacking a lot of times, you know, in a relationship, is that you don't take time for yourself, and you also don't take time to work, you know, work with each other on the relationship. So, anyway, Vish, how about you? I mean, you know, we talked about balance, we talked about those types of things. Was there a time in your life when you were out of balance and you had to bring yourself
absolutely.
Back? Out?
Yeah, absolutely. This happened 5 years ago when. And I don't know if I mentioned that when I was there last time on the show, but that's what led me to write Yoga and Love. And I spent the last 3.5-4 years writing it. What happened was I went into a real estate business. To cut a long story short, I always wanted to be in the movies in Hollywood. I always looked at myself as the first Indian lead guy in Hollywood. And I worked really hard towards it. But somehow, for some reason, it's just in situation didn't allow me to pursue it full time. Anyway, I got sidetracked into real estate, and I built a $50 million enterprise single-handedly in 18 months. It was probably around $55 million. And in the next 2 years, when the downturn happened, we lost it all. At that time, I lost some of my closest friends, 3 or 4 of them who were like brothers to me, and they were all multimillionaires, and they put a lot of their money depending on me. And I made the decision and all the bad decisions, and I take full responsibility for all the loss. We lost it all completely. when we lost it all at that time, having the soulmate relationship, having that relationship, the foundation is so important because I was talking to Deepika and I said, hey, maybe it's time for me to move into Hollywood and start doing movies. And she said, no, stop. She said, you have this gift. You have this power. When people spend an hour with you, their life is transformed. You have this gift of transformation. Why don't you write this book about this relationship we have and how you found me? Why don't you do that and help others? And movie opportunities will come later. And It was one of the toughest decisions I made, but I'm really glad I did that, and that's because of her. And for the next 3.5-4 years, I wrote the book. And, yeah, I was completely out of balance, and I would have made another bad decision. And Yoga and Love would have never happened. It's still a lot to be discovered, but you need to have the partner who can support you just at the right time, giving you the right perspective, the right encouragement, and not be critical about when you make mistakes, because we're all going to make mistakes, and that's just the duality of life. Nobody's perfect, right. Nothing's perfect. And as long as you can learn and quickly bounce back, kudos to you.
Very cool.
You know, great questions, Harry, and you brought up something that I probably get across every other show about relationships preceding resources, even in the dictionary. And when you lack a resource, you work on your relationships first. So we talked a little bit before about work on your purpose and work on your dharma, and I know you had done some of that prior to meeting Deepika, but this is one of those situations in your recent story 5 years ago. Had you not had this relationship, you might not have gotten back on purpose. And
yes, absolutely. I would have lost it. Yes, I would have lost the plot.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So the point I want to make here regarding relationship also is a lot of people put a focus on this romantic relationship, but every relationship can be pivotal, every single one. And when you talked about your friends before, and I think about when I was growing up, some of the key relationships that I had, apart from my parents, were my friends, good, bad, or indifferent. And when we take time to know ourselves, the people we attract into our lives can have an eternal, they can introduce eternal conflict in your life here on Earth. Speak a little bit about that. You know, once you work on you, which are the relationships that you start focusing on?
Can you repeat the question, Phil, please?
Well, in other words, once you work out your love of self and you work out your love of your purpose and you're on fire for a purpose-driven life, is the romantic relationship the very next one you need to be focused on, or are there others?
We always say this in yoga. That's why I want to get back to yoga. Yoga says that there is an inner intelligence which guides you all the time. And it's our job to tune in with that. In Sanskrit, we call it sarvagyam bijam, meaning the seed of all knowingness is already present in a micro form within you. And it's present in the seed of all knowing. And through meditation, we can tune in with that higher intelligence. And it's God, or whatever you want to call it, the universe. We tune in, and it's going to guide you. And that's what happened to me. And that guidance will tell you, hey, you are ready for a relationship, or you're not. Like you read about that lady in on my website, and she came to look for love, and she found herself, and she was so happy with herself, and she said, hey, maybe I'm just having so much fun with myself, I'm not ready for a relationship. And that is her higher intelligence telling her. She's not desperate, she's not getting somebody else on the outside to define who she is.
Right. Right.
I want to add a little bit, just an example of that in our recent, recently that has manifested itself. Like Vish said, that there's a inherent intelligence. And there's something that we've experienced in our relationship, this very deep harmony, because we We put our own meditation practice first that really helps us be in touch with that inner intelligence. Anytime we've had to make the most challenging decisions in our lives, they require the least communication or discussion, because we will intuitively feel independently of each other that need to make that next step or the need to go in a certain direction. And it's sort of our internal, it's a check for us in our marriage when we know we have to move towards, when we have to make a big decision. We'll both have that intuitive feeling literally within the time frame of a week or days. And having children is a big example of that. 10 years in the Indian culture, that's a really long time to go without starting a family.
Right.
A year and a half into our marriage, the expectations, the pressure from parents and from the extended family started to build. And we being who we are, we said, no, let's meditate. Let's really ask for the answer. And we didn't get it. We continued asking, and we didn't get it. 7.5 years passed by, and we didn't get it. And suddenly, everybody had dropped hope. We actually thought maybe we're not meant to have children, but that's okay. Suddenly, a year and a half ago, both of us, individually, I was in Boston, which was here, same week, we had that intuitive thought inside to say, it's time. Time is now. And it was so clear, there was no discussion necessary. We were on the same page. It's all right, time to start a family. So that's just one example of that intelligence that guides you, whether it's, relationships, where to focus, where to give the energy. Is it parents? Is it your spouse? Is it friends? Is it a child? And there's that inherent understanding of yourself and that guidance from within that leads you forward.
But it's also important to ask for guidance. It's not sometimes it's just and we call it the intuition or the sixth sense. And in yoga we say we can consciously develop that. But it's, and because of our meditation practice, we are constantly asking. We have a conscious formula. After meditation, we ask for guidance.
I happen to know that the two of you are diligent in your meditation practice. I mean, you guys wake up really early in the morning, and you devote time together and apart to
absolutely,
developing that. So this isn't something, to anyone listening, if you watch the movie Fast and the Furious, before and after the movie, they say, hey, these are stunts done by professional drivers, don't attempt this at home. Okay. So if you're getting anything out of this conversation, this is stuff that's done in practice. And I shared the other day, because of all of this hype on, I shouldn't say hype, I give them all the praise he deserves, Peyton Manning, that saying that amateurs practice until they get it right, and professionals practice until they can't get it wrong anymore.
Wrong, yes, yep.
Mm. Yeah, and so, like, you guys are in practice all of the time, frankly. So anyone listening to the program today, get around Vish and Deepika and what they discovered here, because you will learn by example, not in theory, of what this can bring into your life.
All right. Very good. We're going to take that one last to wrap up the show tonight. So we're now, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Marvelous Mondays with Harry and Phil on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to be back after this commercial for worldclothesline.com. Hi, everyone. Harry Shade of Marvelous Mondays with Harry and Phil. Phil and I want to introduce you to a young woman named Mallory Brown, who has been a guest on our show. Mallory traveled the world and witnessed the incredible need for clothing, so she founded World Clothesline, an apparel company with a philanthropic mission to clothe the world. When you purchase an item from Mallory, she matches it with a new item for someone in need. You can visit her online store at www.worldclothesline.com and buy a t-shirt, sweatshirt, sweatpants, or even a hat. You'll be supporting her mission and giving new clothes to those who need them most. You buy, she gives. Together, we clothe the world. Worldclothesline.com.
www.thedreamcoach.com.
This is Amy Barbera, inspirational singer-songwriter. When you need a dose of positivity, listen to Marvelous Mondays with Harry and Phil. Positive news, information, and people. Just listen.
All right. Thank you very much. And Phil, I want you to do everybody that's listening a favor. Tell them where we want them to go and what we would love them to do.
Go to Facebook.com/MMFans and join our Marvelous Mondays with Harry and Phil fan page. Tell us what you like and love about the show. Share the positivity. Tell us who you think would be a great guest of the program, and tell your friends to join the conversation and just listen. But do us a favor. You know, Harry and I, we know we can't please everyone. We're not even trying to, actually. But if you have a complaint, just do us a favor. Write it on a $50 bill. Email Harry and I, we'll tell you where to send it. We can't promise we'll do anything about your complaint, but we'll certainly appreciate how you told us.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Something tells me Topeka is going to be using that line this week.
Yeah. Strange feeling. Very good. Well, you know, one of the things that, and I'm glad Phil brought this up about, you know, the professional drivers and that you guys are professional yogis and, you know, you do this. Tell the audience, though, I mean, because I run into this a lot, where people say to me, I can't meditate, and I just really struggle with meditation. And one of the things I say to them is say, listen, start with a minute, then go to 2 minutes to quiet your mind, and then three. Don't beat yourself up. You don't have to, you know, do it for an hour, you know, the very first day. It takes practice. It takes time. And I find a lot of people really are kind of anxious about getting into that daily practice of meditation. What words of advice would you have for them on how to get started?
Yes, you answered it beautifully yourself, Harry. Always start with a minute. See, whenever we are, because of our education system, we are programmed into thinking anything we do, we need to do it perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
We have that attitude. We just demand so much of ourselves. But meditation doesn't work that way. It's a slow transfer. It's like this. You can't get somebody who's 300 pounds to have a six-pack in 2 days. It's not possible.
Exactly.
And we always say it's a mind. We are looking at transformation here. We're talking about transformation. Even body transformation takes 6 months of dieting and workout, right? It takes time. The same way, be easy on yourself. Start slow. Start with a minute. In the book, I talk about a 15-minute ritual where it's just not meditation. First, we need to understand what meditation is. A lot of people don't know that. And then we need to do certain breathing exercises to prepare our consciousness, just like you will prepare a soil. You need to water it, you need to put a fertilizer, and then you need to put the seed, and then you need to water the seed. If you're watering the seed every day, you don't dig and see if the seed is growing. You just let it grow. You will not see anything for a few months. The same way meditation is like that. It's mental transformation. If you sit, don't worry, don't judge it. Oh, don't go around saying, oh, I'm too restless, I can't meditate, I can't do this, I can't. And that's why I've made it very simple in Yoga and Love. It's just a 15-minute ritual. You start with a couple of minutes, slowly build it over time. Then you'll start enjoying it. That's what I always say, give yourself 6 months. Just like you cannot expect overnight results overnight in workout, the same way, it's mental workout. It's spiritual workout.
Right.
It takes time.
You know, I want to jump in real quick with something that I'm not sure if this is controversial. It's controversial for some, okay?
Okay.
But for individuals that come from different belief systems, and, you know, Harry and I do our best to keep this a non-denominational show. It's a non-sectarian show. You know, I'm a Christian, and I love you guys, and I love what you teach people, and it connects them. Talk to the listeners about that, where you come from in your belief system and what the yoga practice is for you that you're teaching them. You know, how is there an amalgamation of faith? Is there something that they're giving up in one end in order to pick up something here?
Well, see, that's why I am exactly Yoga and Love is also very similar to what it's completely non-denominational, and that's why I try to bring in so much science. At the core of it, I keep it very simple. The culture, I don't want to get into the cultural aspects of where I come from. Yeah, I come from a very long lineage of Vedic yoga masters, and I grew up in a Hindu religion, Hindu faith. But the practice of yoga is a scientific practice. It is just like lifting weights. There is no, it's totally secular. There is really no religion to lifting weights. And why is it a science? Because if you follow step one, step two, step three, whether you're in Siberia or Australia, you're going to get the result, same result.
Okay.
And yoga is an empirical, scientific method. And if you practice yoga techniques, you're going to have changes in your brain chemistry. And you start feeling good. It's not about religion. It's not about culture. It's a bunch of scientific methods. And we can prove that. I can back up exactly what whatever I'm trying to say. It's the origin is India, but cell phone was discovered in the West. That doesn't mean it's religious.
Right. And I appreciate where you're coming from. I think it's important for people to understand this because there's a lot of rhetoric out there, but it's not really backed up by a lot of things apart from tradition. And I think, and I can go back to the scripture. Two scriptures I really wanted to bring up here. The beginning and towards the third quarter, okay? In the beginning, when it says that God created Adam and all of these things, and he gave him something to do, to name the birds and the animals, he gave him a purpose. And then it says in the scripture, and I'm paraphrasing, and God saw that it wasn't good for man to be alone, okay? And he created the helpmate from his rib. So the first thing came purpose, then came helpmate or soulmate, right?
Right.
That's
one. Right.
The other side, I kind of mentioned it earlier, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And one of the things that Jesus talked about was you cannot pour new wine into an old wineskin because the acidity will make it burst. You can't necessarily put new ideas into an old brain. If you're not willing to make changes because your life, how it is currently, good, bad, or indifferent, it's not, if it's not getting you the results that you say you want, something's got to give. And where it's got to give is in your mind. I firmly believe this because nothing in this world exists without it existing in the mind first. So if you can take on practice like you would, and we mention it all the time, the physical side, the morbidly obese person that's got to lose a lot of weight, or the person who wants to transform themselves and be strong, a power lifter, or Mr. Universe, you know what to do physically to build this muscle that you didn't have the day before. Well, what's
right.
the difference with the brain muscle?
Right.
So
exactly.
I kind of feel like I got on a soapbox here. Let me step down for a second.
Just a bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. Vish, tell them where to go to connect with you. What's up for you next? Where are you going to be?
Yes. The first thing is I did a mini launch in October of Yoga and Love, and within the first week, the book hit bestseller in two categories on Amazon. So it's just been a great start. And as we mentioned, a gentleman mentioned at the start of the show, our goal in the next 2 years is to heal 15 million singles and couples with our message of yoga and love. I did not write it as it's my life's work. I just completely dedicated my life to it the last 3.5-4 years. And what next? We are in the talks, potential TV show and potential movie, probably on the big screen as well. Because the book story has all the elements. We met on a movie set. It's got all the drama, all the conflicts.
Right.
So we could probably a potential Hollywood movie and a movie in India as well. A lot of good things. And I'm also starting an online program based on the book in the next 2-3 weeks. Right after Valentine, Valentine's Day. So it's a lot of cool things coming up for Yoga and Love, and I'm going to be I've been on a bunch of TV. I've been on CNN, NBC, and I have 10 more shows to go.
Nice. I love it. Yeah. I don't know if you can hear it, but I've got like this huge smile on my face. I can barely close my cheeks. I'm so happy for both of you. I think that you are doing what you came here to do, and being around people who are living on purpose I thrive on that. Harry and I both. I think I know that we're on purpose every time we do the show, because one of our intentions is to give volume to the voices of those making a positive impact in the world. And I'm elated that we get to rub shoulders with you, figuratively and literally, and we get to help spread that message. So thank you so much for doing what it is that you do. I really appreciate it.
Thank you guys for having us on the show. It's been such a treat, and I look forward to having you in my home and treating you to some homemade chai.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, that sounds wonderful.
Been a joy. It's always a joy because since the last 2 years, I do a lot of interviews mm-hmm. in the media, magazines, and I must say that the quality of questions from you gentlemen is just well way beyond any of the other media interviews I do. I hope the other media people are not listening. And whether it's any of the bigger channels or the bigger TV shows I've done, it just, I must say, the perception and the understanding, the comprehension with a C, because C seems to be the word of the day. The letter of the day. And the cavalier attitude with which you can ask these questions, and the creative ways you put me on to respond to them. it's just a joy.
Well, you know,
I love it.
After he said all of that, I have one last question, and I don't know how creative it is, but
okay.
I'm just curious, why 15 million? Where did you come up with the number 15 million? Of all the numbers you've thought of?
A lot of people are asking me that. You know, Harry, I have it's not a creative solution. For a change, this is a logical solution, which is quite unlike me because I don't understand logic. Okay, the logical solution goes something like this. There is 20% of America at this moment practice yoga. 20%. And we are looking at a number of around 65 million people, and yoga is one of the fastest growing businesses in the country. Out of the 65 million people, my target audience are women from the ages of 21 to 45. And why I say target audience is because most of my clients fall in that range. And that number is 15 million.
Well, there you go.
Yes, and that is why.
I'm a little disappointed. I was hoping for something a little more esoteric.
No, Harry, you don't need it. You already have the understanding, or I can make it 15 million and one.
Perfect.
Yeah, but then Harry's going to be trying to figure out who's the one, you know?
let's do it 15 million and two, guys.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you got two covered already in this conversation. You know, I just got to say this. Harry, aren't you glad we don't script this show? Because I don't think we would have gotten the compliment if we did.
No, probably not. But there's the good and the other side of that, and we tend to err on the good as much as we possibly can. The other thing is, Phil usually asks that question. I know it's the first time guest, but I kind of like to hear Deepika and Vish, give our audience, if there is one thing that you would want them to know, what is that one thing before we end for the night? And Deepika, let's start with you. What's that one thing you'd want the audience to know?
That's a really easy question, Harry, because that's been the driver of our life. And it really, when Vish talks about hitting that low point after losing everything, you know, and really going, deciding to go after this message of spreading yoga and love, it was really clear is to give hope, and hope in a very unique way. We saw a very different kind of disparity in this country that was new to us, and that was that yearning and that emptiness of love, and people really searching for true love. And the message that we believe this, and we've seen this manifest over and over again with those that we've come in contact with, is true. You're made for true love. You're naturally designed to live in that state of perfect love and that perfect partnership. So don't give up hope and don't settle, because you deserve it, and that ideal partnership is possible, and you can attain it. That would really be the impact that we want to have on that 15,000,001.
Perfect.
And from my perspective, it's very similar along those lines. And I say never lose hope in finding the partner. I see whenever I speak in coaching, people are jaded about relationships and love. And I want to say that what you project is what you're going to attract.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you keep affirming that, hey, there are no good men out there or no good women out there, and relationships never work, marriage never works, guess what? That is exactly what's going to happen to you.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What you put out is, and we always say, who you are on the inside is what will manifest on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And never lose hope in love. Never lose hope, like Deepika said, finding that ideal relationship, because according to the culture I come from and yoga and love, is there is one ideal person, many potential, but one ideal. And make that effort to consciously attract that person into your life. That person is not going to fall off the sky. You need to consciously work on yourself, just like to become a doctor. It takes time. To be entitled to make that money as a surgeon, it takes training and preparation. The same way, to be entitled for the deep connection, relationship you crave, you need to work on yourself. And I'm not going to lie about that. It's not a joke. It's not. There should be certain some quantum at the quantum level. There should be a change in our consciousness. A change in perspective.
Absolutely.
Understanding yourself at the emotional level. And once you
but Vish, we just wanted you to say one thing. Just one thing. Not two, three things.
I'm sorry. That was and full stop. Yeah.
Because we want them to buy the book and we want them to engage with you and hire you, okay? If you give it all away, that's not going to happen.
No, I'm not. Yes, that's the one thing. Well, don't be jaded.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Stick around. We're both going to give some closing comments here.
Okay.
Harry, I'll defer to you first, but stick around, guys, and listen to the end of the show, okay?
Well, that's funny, because I was going to defer to you first.
Well, you always close it anyway, so figure you go, I go, and then you close it.
Oh, so we're scripting it now. Okay. Well, anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Well, yeah, I mean, there's so many things. And really, you know, when Vish said that they could listen to us the whole time, I could just sit and listen to them the whole time. And I could have just let Vish go for another half an hour and Deepika about what they're talking about. But a couple things that really, you know, jumped out here for me is one of them, of course, and it was one of his closing comments about working on yourself. And this is something, again, I mentioned again and again that I've purposely done over the last couple of years, and so many people have been coming up to me saying, well, Harry, don't you want a girlfriend? Don't you want a date? Don't you? No. Okay. I don't. I'm not ready. I'm not ready because I'm still trying to figure me out. I'm trying to find my balance again and my dharma, if you will. And, I mean, I know what my purpose is, but really getting to live it and do those types of things because I want to attract that person into my life that's going to be that soulmate that we're going to, you know, just combine on every level, you know, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, every level we can, we're going to connect. And so, no, I'm not looking for that because I'm not, you know, I know that I'm still working on me. The other thing is the idea of, you know, yoga and its meditation and the fact that, you know, a lot of people have this misconception about yoga and they think of all the stretching and all the stuff. As a matter of fact, I was texting with one of our listeners and she was saying, you know, just here recently, last text from her, oh, you know, I want to learn to meditate, but in another way. And so she, you know, just doesn't have an understanding of what really yoga is. And so I came back immediately and said, you need to buy Yoga and Love. Just buy the book. Mm. Okay. So that you can do that. And, you know, and the idea that, you know, again, be gentle with yourself. Again, I've said this over and over again. One of the reasons that I resonate with a lot of what they're saying is like, be gentle with yourself, take care of yourself, take a little bit of time. I literally had this conversation Saturday night after dancing with a couple women and they were talking about, I can't meditate. I'm like, just do it for a minute. And they said, well, I can't. 10 seconds. Okay. Just, you know, and then I would talk to them about different things that they actually do, about what meditation is and how you quiet the mind and you're not thinking about things. And I even mentioned, I said, did you ever notice if like you're listening to a particular type of music, you're lost in the music? Yeah, there you go. Okay. You're right. Not thinking about anything else. So utilize those types of things. And yoga is one way. And there's, you know, lots of others. So those are the things that kind of resonate with me, Phil.
Excellent. Well, there are so many different areas to cover with what they're up to. And what I love about it is, what if someone said to you that I can help you get love in a big way back into your life, right? What if I did that? What would be possible for your life if I did that, right? I don't know who wouldn't want to have that. Like if there's a balance to life regarding love and whatever you think the opposite is, I happen to think that the opposite of love is actually fear. Okay. And we can pontificate on this 11 days a week. You know, some people say, well, the absence of love is the opposite of love, right? Just in the same way when you shut the light off, it's not that there's a darkness switch, it's the absence of light, right? Well, look, wherever you are in the world, whatever you're up to in the world, whether you're happy, sad, depressed, okay, with your job, your relationship, yourself, wherever it is that you are, if somebody came in and said, I can help you get love back into your life, my only question for you after that person says that they can help you do that is, how much love do you want? You want a little bit, or do you want a lot? Like, why wouldn't you want to have an abundance, an incredible amount of love? Why wouldn't you want that? Like, what would be possible in your life if you could increase your capacity to love? If you could have a bungee cord of love? If you could have And I'm looking at the time, Harry. I know we got to do the closing thing.
We're good. We're good.
Yeah, okay. So what if you had that, then what would be possible? Because if you could own that and you could reverse engineer how you got there, I promise you it probably had to do with your capacity to love. What would happen in this world if just one person could love, you know, at the highest level, and that person was a judge in the court systems? What if one person on Capitol Hill could love in a way that they've never loved before? What would that do to our legal system? What if one police officer could love in a way that he's never loved before? What if the doctor, the lawyer, the garbage man,
the barista at the coffee shop? What if the people you don't even know you don't know, and let's call them the 15 million goal plus one or two, okay? What if those individuals increase their capacity to love in the next 2 years? What kind of a world could we possibly live in? I think that is what Jesus Christ was after. I think that's what Buddha was after. I think that's what Mahatma Gandhi was after. I believe that that's what Martin Luther King Jr. was after. And I believe that's what Vishen Dabhika was after. And I promise you, if you just own what would be possible if you increased your capacity to love, you will find it if you get around them. That's what I got.
Yeah, excellent, Phil, as always, and I love the way you actually talked about that. I'm also going to remember Bungee Cord of Love. I've not heard that one before, so that's a good one. I like that. Anyway, I tell you what. Well, one of the things that I've done this year, just so you know, Phil, all the shows that I'm putting up 2 hours, so we have plenty of time.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's been going an hour and a half, which is fantastic. But all right. Right. My thing as the producer of the show, we got some upcoming guests next week, February 10th, John Evans, the creator and founder of ProfessionalBachelors.com, a site helping men become physically, emotionally, and financially healthy gentlemen who are amazingly good with women, is going to be our guest next week. On February 17th, Joshua Waitman, an energy coach, divine consultant, and clear channel, helps to ignite your inner divine knowing. And on February 24th, we'll wrap up the month of February and the theme of relationships with Anita Casalina. She's a co-founder of Billions Rising, a nonprofit organization that documents and highlights efforts of people and organizations around the world that are empowering others to become self-reliant. We got a great month, and it kicked off in a most loving way with Vish and Deepika. So we thank them so much for being here. So, Phil, I tell you what, man. I look so forward to Monday nights, and I'm also looking forward to the day that we do this on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, because I tell you, it is the highlight of my life, and you are one of the highlights of my life, my friend. I certainly appreciate our friendship and our brotherhood, and I look forward to talking to you every day.
I love you, bro, and thank you for doing what you do, because I couldn't do it without you. Vish and Deepika, we love you both, and I'm looking forward to hugging it out with you next time I'm in California.
Absolutely. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Marvelous Mondays with Harry and Phil on Blog Talk Radio. On behalf of our very special guest, Vishen Dabhika, my brother for another mother, Mr. Phil Gornai, the conversationalist extraordinaire, this is Harry Shade, your producer, saying, may you be blessed always and in always. Make it a great life, everybody.
Good morning.
Morning.
Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Oh, behave. Yeah. Yeah, baby. Yeah.
You've been listening to Marvelous Mondays with Harry and Phil. Thanks for sharing your time with us. Find us at facebook.com/mmfans and join our fan page so you can help us spread the positivity all over the world Monday night and every night of the week.
Skipper, don't you think we should tell them that the boat's out of gas?
Nah, just smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave.